listening to the PW Torch livecast. This is the Raw postgame show here on Monday night, July 18th, 2016. I'm your host, Torch, assistant editor James Caldwell. I'll be joined by Torch columnist Pat McNeil in just a second to break down tonight's Raw. We've got full coverage of the show at our main website, pwtorch.com. My full report and thoughts on tonight's show, plus all the news from the show. And there was a lot of news on tonight's show. The show ended with a mystery of who is the WWE champion. You kind of see where this is going, but the main event was Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins for the title. Double pin. No one knows what's going on. No finish. We go off the air with Stephanie McMahon declaring Seth as the champion. But Shane obviously had something to say about that. So we'll find out all about this tomorrow night on SmackDown, I'm sure, when they do the draft. But they go off here tonight without a decision on the champion. So one way you look at it, Dean's still a champion. Another way you look at it, no one's a champion. We'll see how it plays out tomorrow night. But we've got news on that, plus the new general managers. Gosh, there's a lot of news happening on tonight's Raw. We'll talk all about it here on the Raw postgame show. Taking your calls and emails. The number to call us here is 646-721-9828 or email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And let's go right away to PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil for his thoughts on the show. Pat, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Hello, James. Hello, you people.
Hello, indeed, Pat. So, in your eyes, Pat, who's the WWE champion?
I suspect that it was a double pin and that technically Dean Ambrose should still be the champion. But really, James, does it matter? Because we're going to have a match on Sunday that should settle us one way or the other. I mean, either it's going to be Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins or maybe even Roman Reigns. You know, I mean, you're going to come out of Sunday and you're going to know definitely who the WWE champion is, right?
Or champions, if they use this to split up the titles. It does sort of seem like Roman Reigns is the odd man out, where he really doesn't even belong in any of this. So it's kind of an awkward spot for him.
Roman Reigns. Yeah, he used to be champion here, I think. Yeah,
good point. He used to do stuff here, yes. Where did he go?
I don't know.
I mean, Pat, they've got SmackDown tomorrow night. I'm sure they're going to argue about all this, and then they'll have a title match of some sort of battleground, and who knows what that will actually decide. But what did you think about the execution? I thought it was pretty sloppy tonight. That was my opinion, Pat. What was your opinion on how they executed it?
You know, I think it's got to be a lot tighter if you're going to do something like that. Because, I mean, let's say people have decided, okay, this is a big show. I'm going to make it through all 3 hours. It's a big show. There's nothing else on, on the other channels. I'm going to go ahead and make it through all 3 hours, and you get to the 3 hours, and like, that's why I don't like WWE, because of this stupid stuff like the end of the show, where you can't even give a simple answer like who's the champion. I mean, can you imagine Dana White letting, Dana White and all those people letting somebody out of the octagon without determining, who won the fight?
They're trying to climb out with the belt, and Dana's trying to chase him, or her down in the entrance. Well, yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's just silly.
Yeah. And my instant reaction was they killed momentum for the draft tomorrow, because now they've created this giant distraction.
Well, yeah.
And I don't feel like, I think they were trying to create a hook for tomorrow night, we'll find out who the champion is, but I feel like it was so sloppy that I think it made, like you said, it made people more frustrated and not really excited for the draft, and I think they did the opposite.
Right.
I think that the effect was the opposite of what they're going for.
Plus, we heard this wonderful speech from Shane McMahon about, the wrestlers are going to be the sports entertainers are going to be, it's going to be all about the superstars. It's not going to be about the authority figures. And, of course, we have a main event tonight that's all about the authority figures because they're all at ringside. And they all get in, and the argument after the match is among the authority figures, not between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
Oh, classic WWE. Now, that was one of those moments. Yeah, overbooked, and
just a bit maybe.
Just a bit outside.
And it sort of takes away. There was a lot, and it takes away because there was a lot of good wrestling tonight.
I mean that match was really good, until the finish. And they also had the giant 12-man tag, which was pretty interesting. And they also had an opening tag, which was a bit overly ambitious, but it's still a lot of good guys in that top match. But I think they did some negative. They created negative momentum for tomorrow. I know they want to split up the titles or at least set up that possibility, but there's got to be a better way to do it than how they did it tonight, Pat.
No, I mean, and the problem is how they did it can't be, you know, I mean, it's not something where you can go right into having the split because you've still got a match, a pay-per-view match, which is supposed to determine the champion on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have another screwy finish like 6 days after the first screwy finish.
Yeah, well, I think everybody will be happy as long as Roman Reigns gets pinned. You know, as long as he doesn't win a title, I think people will be okay with that. But otherwise,
you would think of that.
Yeah.
And then Roman goes on to win it back at SummerSlam, see?
Okay, yeah, then people are going to be really upset. Pat, let me go back up to the top of the show. And the top of the show was packed with news. Daniel Bryan, as expected, the SmackDown general manager. Mick Foley, the Raw general manager, under the care of Stephanie. They also announced the Cruiserweights are coming back on Raw, so it kind of feels very Nitro-ish. But I don't trust anybody to take care of the Cruiserweight division on Raw. I just don't like that one. The Triple H teasers are out there, Pat.
Whatever do you mean?
What's that, Pat?
Whatever do you mean? I'm sure Mick Foley will do a great job of... You know, okay, never mind.
We might have to bring back, Triple H's alter ego, Papa Trips, from NXT. You might have seen it from NXT.
Yeah.
To kind of handle the Cruiserweights, because I sense that's going to be that Q10 match where people are sitting on their hands. You know, that's...
I mean, you mean because the last time we had a Cruiserweight title on WWE, it ended up on Hornswoggle, and they dropped it entirely?
Yeah, that's my concern, yes. This is
okay.
The same company.
Yeah.
The same company that did that, yes.
Well, that can't happen this time because Hornswoggle's not even on the roster.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, actually, that he got released before that.
Yeah.
They could have had
sure
him come back
I'm
and defend
sure
the title
they,
against Zack Sabre.
Yeah,
you know,
see, had they decided that they were going to bring back the Cruiserweights earlier, they would have kept Hornswoggle.
That's right. Yeah, so... Well, let me get your thoughts on Mick Foley, Pat. What do you make about Foley as the Raw GM with Stephanie... We kind of knew about Shane and Brian because that got leaked last week. But what do you make of the Shane and I'm sorry, the Steph and Mick Foley pairing on Raw?
Well, I think that what we're going to see is we're going to see the same skits that you did with Shane and Stephanie, except Mick Foley will be in Shane's place, and Mick Foley will probably do a better job, you know, playing the babyface. Except that Stephanie will ultimately have authority, so she gets to smack Mick down each week. So that'll be great.
Yeah, and then it'll be back to all about the authority figures, as they said it wasn't going to be about, kind of.
Well, see, and see, on the SmackDown side, you have Daniel Bryan, so that when Shane takes every other week off, you know, we still have an authority figure.
Yeah, they can alternate. You know, Shane's 1 week, and then Bryan's 1 week, and, you know, back and forth they go. I think that'll actually work out quite well. And then
Josie the dog every third week can come out and be the authority figure, and yeah, that'll be great.
Bree will come. I mean, when Total Bellas, you know, comes around, and then Brian can, you know, send out Bree to make decisions. So that's, you know, keep the Bellas name out there for the TV show. It'll all work out
very well on
SmackDown.
Not really worried about SmackDown. I think that's the least of the. I think that's the least of the problems. I think this is set up to be a war where, you know, obviously. They're doing this to show USA Network, hey, we're willing to make big changes and sacrifice in order to get SmackDown and willing to go live in order to get SmackDown over. But the whole point is that Raw beat SmackDown because Stephanie's in charge of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And because Raw's the show that they figure is going to get the better ratings anyway, so.
Yeah. And Shane, they figure Shane will be gone in a while anyways, too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, especially when they get rid of him. I mean...
And Brian's left there to hold the bag. Yeah.
Well,
Pat, I got an interesting email I wanted to run by you because I think this is, you know, they kind of touched on this a little bit.
Okay.
The NXT draft picks. There's going to be 6 draft picks, I guess, going to both brands. So I guess they're allowed to pick 6 people.
3
total.
Each, right?
Yeah, I guess it could be 4-2, or I mean, 3-3, 5-1.
Yeah, okay. So once they pick the 6th NXT person, they can't pick any more from NXT.
That's my interpretation of this. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay, but they're going to have the cruiserweights, so
who are separate?
I guess Raw can pick as many cruiserweights as they want.
Well, that's the big question mark is what, you know, Stephanie just said, hey, we're bringing back the cruiserweight division, you know, and it's like
okay.
okay, what does that mean? When? You know, like the details were so fuzzy, and I think this was a very last-minute decision that they made. So
okay,
they probably
so,
haven't sorted this out yet.
No, probably not. But okay, let's say that we have the draft tomorrow night, and the Raw drafts Kota Ibushi and Cedric Alexander and Zack Sabre Jr. And Grand Metalik, and you know, I mean, for starters, I mean, what? Yeah, boy, are you still going to be excited about the Cruiserweight Classic?
It does feel very rushed. I mean, they're just like 1 week into the tournament, you know, and they're already introducing the division again on TV. But I think they'll keep those guys you mentioned separate from this draft. I mean, I'm thinking more of, you know, Nakamura and Balor and Bayley and those kind of people. So I guess my question to you, Pat, is,
they're not going to take Nakamura off NXT, at least not right now.
I mean, like realistically, if you're Shane and you're Brian, like if this is a shoot draft, like you'd have to pick Nakamura because he's the top. I mean, other than Samoa Joe and Balor, he's the top guy. So I know what you're saying, because Pat, I would keep him at NXT. Like, I would just keep him there.
Right.
But if this is legit, if you're presenting this as a legit shoot draft, you'd have to pick Nakamura. Otherwise, it just feels like you're an idiot.
Yeah,
idiot general manager.
If you're presenting it as a shoot draft, then yeah, you're picking Nakamura, and next Tuesday on SmackDown, you know, a week from Tuesday on SmackDown, you're headlining with Nakamura versus AJ Styles. I
mean, oh, that's juicy. Oh, I like that.
Thank you, but that's
not
what
I'm going
to do right now. But, well, I mean, I'd be surprised if it happened.
So on that note, Pat, who would your six call-ups be? This is the email question from Brian. Who do you think realistically are going to be the six draft picks?
Okay, realistically, I think Jordan and Gable are one and two.
Okay.
Because I think that they've managed to write them pretty much off.
Right.
Balor is three.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think they're writing off Nia Jax, so Nia Jax will be four.
Okay.
Let's see. Those are the easy ones. The other ones, which would be tougher, jeez. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, the next two are the tough ones, I think. I mean, maybe you. Let's see. Jeez. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess you have to have some sort of rule where you can't pick the NXT champions while they're champions, because otherwise it would pretty obviously be Samoa Joe and Asuka.
That's the question mark is, you know, if you can draft anybody from NXT, wouldn't you draft the champion? But then if you draft the champion, then what do you do with the NXT title and NXT?
Yeah.
I mean, if you drafted Joe and Nakamura,
okay, so
who are headlining your next NXT pay-per-view,
I guess.
You know?
All right, so let's say number five is Bayley.
Okay.
Because they got to do it eventually. And you can still have Bayley going after Asuka for the title at TakeOver, even though she's already called up or whatever.
Right.
That's, I mean, they did that last year with Sasha Banks, so that's fine. Let's see. So who's six? I mean, six. I'd just take Bobby. I mean, if it were me, I'd just take Bobby Roode and
nice.
Skip the main. You know, skip the NXT pretty much entirely. because he's ready. I mean, he's ready to go now.
Oh sure.
And everybody knows who he is. I don't know. Aries maybe.
Aries is because he's not really doing anything right now.
But if you take Aries now, you're giving up that huge No Way Jose versus Aries match at TakeOver in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, there's that one. Yeah. Yeah, they could do that as a main roster Aries match. Yeah,
make Aries the sixth guy. All right, that works.
Brian had a very, very, very similar list close to yours, Pat, and he added in Eva Marie as the last pick from NXT.
No.
I can see that happening, actually, you know.
Why don't you have them pick the Drifter while they're at it?
Yeah, that's the one
I really want to see tomorrow night, Pat.
The correct answer is because
the Drifter's injured. Yes, that's true.
That's what I want to see how they handle.
I take that back. Leave Aries off. Ty Dillinger should be the sixth pick. They're not doing anything with him.
They really aren't. Yeah, I mean he's turning. I mean he had an hot act and they turned him into an opening match loser.
Yeah, and he's main roster material because he's already been on the main roster.
Right. Yeah. And Pat, what I want to see tomorrow night is how do they handle Roman Reigns. How do they draft somebody who's suspended? And that's going to be interesting. I mean, they didn't even mention why he's off TV tonight. You know, they've kind of gotten to the end of this 30 days, and they're just not even addressing why he's suspended.
They never officially, they mentioned he's suspended. They never officially mentioned why he's suspended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tonight it was more about, he comes back at Battleground. You know, there was nothing about why he's been off TV for a month.
All right. Well, he's started. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I'm sure they're still trying to figure out exactly how they want to deal with that.
And then
and,
which
I mean,
GM
you know,
wants to draft him? You know, hey, let me draft a suspended guy.
Well, except the suspended guy is fighting for the title on Sunday, and he's a former 3-time champion or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you got to make those tough decisions if you're Bryan or Foley. So
yeah,
I can see Foley making that pick because Foley leaned a little bit heelish in that backstage interaction with Bryan, like kind of late in
with
the show.
Shane, yeah. I guess so. I guess they could do it that way.
Yeah, we'll see. Big draft tomorrow night, Pat. Gosh, a lot unfolding this week, as you mentioned. So we'll be talking a lot about this on Wednesday's VIP After Show when you and I get back together. Pat, give us a little bit of discussion about what you have on Wednesday's live cast.
Well, we got an all-star panel set for Wednesday and a couple guys that we know well. Lodi makes his return to the live cast, and we will have the Stro, a couple former WCW guys, going over what happened on SmackDown with us and probably taking your calls and maybe willing to talk about the good old days if you press them hard enough. And on top of that, I'm filling in for Jim Valley on Saturday Morning Wrestling. And, the sad part is that Jim's not going to be there and I have to do the show. The good part is that Justin Credible has agreed to come on with me and fill an hour. So I think that we'll get through the show just fine.
Awesome. Well, Pat McNeil Week here on the live cast. It should be a fun ride. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Well, you know, it's the least I could do with Wade and Bruce and Travis all off at the Republican convention.
AKA the Hall of Fame. Yes, of course. Yes, yes.
They're going to the Hall. Well, they're going to the Hall of Fame after the convention. I mean, the convention. You know.
Certainly.
That's obvious.
Certainly,
right.
Indeed.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, Pat, good talking to you. We will talk again on Wednesday, and I'll look forward to that.
All right. Okay, sounds like fun, James. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Pat. That's PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. He's on Twitter, @RealPatMcNeil, and I'll be right back after this quick commercial break with your phone call, 646-721-9828.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
All right, let's get to phone calls here on the Raw Post Game Show. First up, let's go to my good friend James out of Houston, out of the 281. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, James. What's your mind tonight?
Before I get to my things, I didn't know if you picked it up on the WWE Network's Twitter page because I was waiting in line, so I didn't log online. It said that the official ruling was that Dean Ambrose was still the champion and they ruled the match a draw. Apparently, WWE told you to go, in a weird thing, they told you to go to the network for the follow-up on Raw without no type of publicity or anything like that. So I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. you wanted to check on that.
That's only, that wasn't on the Raw broadcast, so what, they put that on social media?
Well, apparently they aired the follow-up on the WWE Network, but I caught what they said on the WWE Network's official Twitter page, so it was very strange. But apparently they had the follow-up on the network.
And they didn't announce that at the end of Raw to go to the network?
No, sir.
To watch the follow-up. God. This is a
strange.
Complete mess. Yeah, that makes it even messier.
Really strange. So you know it's the Monday before pay-per-view, so you know I gotta ask you.
Uh-huh.
I need one bold prediction for Battleground, but I'm gonna do something different this time.
Uh-huh.
I would like also a bold prediction for SmackDown Live tomorrow.
Mm.
Rather, it's a surprise, you know, title match or a draft pick that you think that might be a dark horse, anything like that. The other thing that I did want to ask about is, what do you think about how the Randy Orton segment is going to turn out on Battleground? I think that's just a weird way to introduce him. That's pretty much all I got, but have a good night.
All right, thanks, James. Appreciate the info and the phone call. Yeah, the Orton one, it seems to be the reverse of what you would expect. You know, you would expect the surprise, and then they kind of follow up with, you know, hey, remember Randy Orton? And the video package and all that. They're kind of doing a slow reintroduction with no surprise element, no RKO out of nowhere. It's like, hey, remember Randy Orton? Yeah, he's coming back. So watch him do an interview. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like it's in reverse. So, you know, I guess, you know, it'd also be one thing if his opponent, when he comes back, you know, Brock at SummerSlam, if Brock or whoever the opponent is, was a clear heel or a clear face. You know, if they said, Randy Orton's coming back to face Sheamus, you know he's coming back as a babyface. If they said, Randy Orton's coming back to face John Cena, then you know Orton's coming back as a heel. But Brock is such an ambiguous character that, you know, Orton could come back as either a face or a heel. You know, so I'm sure I kind of have it mapped out in my head. Jericho's out there, brings out Orton. Big pop for Orton coming back. Soaks it up in his own way. And then the conversation will dictate whether Orton's heel or face, I assume, unless they leave it ambiguous, because Brock's ambiguous. So I don't know how this is going to work out. And, you know, by the end of the interview with Jericho, what will the reception be to Orton? That's the big mystery. So it has been very odd. I'm willing to give it a shot to see what the presentation is at Battleground. I'm very curious about why they've gone this direction with bringing it back on TV. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarity of that on Sunday. I don't know what they're going for yet. Bold pick for Battleground. Let me pull up the lineup and let me see here. WWE title match. That's such a toss up because we need to see the official follow up on SmackDown tomorrow night. But, My bold pick for Sasha Banks' mystery partner, I'll get that one. Well, yeah, I don't think it'll be Bayley. You know, I think that's a popular pick, but I mean, it's too obvious. maybe that one's Nia Jax. You know, they bring up Nia as sort of an answer to Dana Brooke. Otherwise, I mean, you know, unless they brought back a legacy star, you know, like a Trish Stratus or Lita or something like that. But I'm going to go with Nia Jax. I don't know. I don't feel good about that. I'm going to pass over the mystery tag partner pick because I just don't feel good about that prediction. I got to go by feeling on this one, James. So I'll go to my usual how many titles would change hands prediction. I guess there's only three title matches. You got the WWE title match, Intercontinental title, U.S. title. I don't see any way Darren Young and Zack Ryder win those mid-card title matches. The presentation of them has just been awful the last 2 weeks as babyface challengers. So I'm going to say zero title changes. I think that Ambrose, assuming he is really still the champion going into Battleground, I think he retains, and I think Miz and Rusev retains. So I'm going to say big fat zero title changes at Battleground. Now, the asterisk might be if they come up with something where they split up the titles, and then there's some sort of split, and this kind of popped to my head. You know, you go back in time to what was, Kurt Angle, Benoit, Edge maybe? And it was like, the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title on the line in a three-way match. And, you know, if you won the first fall, you were the U.S. champion. If you won the second fall, you're Intercontinental champion. So, something like that. I don't remember the exact details, but they could go back in time and put that in the mix here of, you know, whoever gets the first pinfall is the WWE champion of Raw. Whoever gets the second pinfall is the WWE champion of SmackDown. It's a possibility. They could go that direction. So then that'll be my bold prediction here. We're going to get really bold. I'm going to go with the old Benoit angle. I think it was Edge deal. And I'm going to say two titles on the line, a three-way, first two pinfalls, you're the champions. That's my bold pick as to how this all turns out for Battleground. How about that? Bold pick for SmackDown Live is, let's see, SmackDown Live, we're doing a lot of draft picks. We've got I'm gonna bold predict a tag team to get split up. A tag team that's going to get split up is going to be. Now the Wyatts is an easy pick because they're listed individually. They're not even listed as a tag team on WWE's draft little instruction sheet. So I'm gonna say that's not really a fair pick. So my bold pick is New Day gets broken up. I think New Day. Perhaps Big E and Kofi or any combination of that, but I'm going to say New Day gets split up tomorrow night. That's my bold pick. Split up the tag champions. And again, that's how maybe they create split tag team champions at both brands, is Big E and Kofi or whichever two are on SmackDown or Raw or whatever. We're the rightful champion. No, I'm the rightful champion. And maybe that's perhaps how they split this thing up as two tag champions on both brands. So I'm going to go super bold. New Day gets split up tomorrow night. And they book a two-title match, three-person match for Battleground. How about that? Let us see what happens with that. James, appreciate the call. And let's go to our next caller. Next up is the 478 area code. Welcome to show 478. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Darrell from Georgia. How you doing today, James?
Hey, I'm good, Darrell. What's your mind tonight?
Nothing. The bumbling of them telling everybody to go to the network to watch for the decision just makes me laugh even more than how this whole brand split going all together. It just puts it all together as a big whole. That was just a crazy moment. Why wouldn't you want your viewers to tune in to switch over to the network and you just send out a blast through the app over your phone? Where some people don't look at.
It's like, how do you not put that in, that at the end of the Raw sense. Broadcast? Or how do you bungle that where you don't give Michael Cole the info to put that on the air as you're signing off? I just don't get it. Some of the things they do, I don't get it. Go ahead, Drew.
They've been bumbling the whole draft as a whole. Now we got even more authority figures going to start going at each other. Having heat with each other, So it's not going to leave any time for them to build any storylines or decide on who the best wrestler come out there and lay the law in instead of trying to be characters on the show. So it seems like the same booking on each show, nothing different. You're going to have the Cruiserweights on Raw for Vince to book. That's even crazy. My whole guess is that, and I want you to take a whiff at it afterwards, I think 3 weeks after SummerSlam, you're going to be getting, again, this Raw Super Show, and it will no longer be a brand split. I want to see how long you think about that and to maybe help you with your picks on NXT picks, since America Alphas are counted as one pick for their tag team. Ty Dillinger, Bayley, Finn Balor, Nia Jax, and Double A. There go your six. Your six picks.
That's a good roster.
And want to hear what you think about that and your prediction on how long the brand split will last. Mine is 3 weeks after SummerSlam. It will be kaput because they'll run out of storage material because eventually you got to say Stephanie and Shane got to go at each other eventually. That's what they've been building to.
That's interesting you bring up that point because
all these months.
The conflict on Raw has been between Shane and Stephanie, and that's been ongoing since Shane came back in February. I think it was February. And so now you've removed that, you know, conceivably you've removed that conflict permanently. You know, I assume that Stephanie will be on the SmackDown draft tomorrow, but if we're to assume that this is a, you know, Battleground is sort of the end of the era and they begin the new era on next Monday's Raw, then conceivably Shane McMahon is not allowed back on Raw again. And so the conflict has always been between Shane and Stephanie. And now all of a sudden the conflict will be between what, Shane and Mick Foley? You know, that doesn't really grab me. I'm not really interested in that one. And you know, are they really going to emphasize all of the roster? You know, I have a hard time believing that one. You know, because they've been so caught up in the authority figure battles, they made the wrestlers so secondary for so long. So I mean, I think eventually they're gonna have to bring back Triple H. But if Triple H is on Raw. So here's the thing about Triple H, though, is does he continue in the overseeing role of what, quote-unquote, COO? You know, where I guess at that point he'd be able to go back and forth, but he'd be a floater authority figure where he can go back and forth between Raw and SmackDown because he's, you know, the overall COO, and there's above him is Vince as a chairman on TV, Mr. McMahon. So, you know, is Triple H the bridge between the conflict between Shane and Stephanie that rages on? I mean, like, how will they handle this? Will Shane Skype in, you know, from the SmackDown production meeting on Monday night and tease what's going to happen on SmackDown the next night? You know, will Stephanie allow him to have TV time? And, you know, it just gets into a big potential stink over what does an actual brand split look like. So, yeah, so Darrell, you're saying 3 weeks after SummerSlam. I'm going to give them more time. I'm going to say until the end of the year, and I think they'll evaluate this at the end of the year. And if this is not working, then I think they very well could see maybe some SmackDown guys on Raw and Raw guys on SmackDown, you know, vice versa. Or you might see the authority figures kind of cross over more often. I think they're going to try to give us time to work. I think knowing WWE and USA Network, you know, there's going to be pressure to continue the conflict between Shane and Stephanie in some regard. And how that plays out without trying, you know, they've got to be careful about not making it seem like there is no brand split. Like, oh, it's just the same old thing. And so, they can't have Shane show up on Raw, you know, every other week. But then again, they want to use Raw to promote SmackDown. So does Shane, like, quote-unquote, buy TV time on Raw to promote his show? And you get kind of messy with all that. And it's WWE, and I don't really trust them with these sort of fine details. But I'm at least giving them until the end of the year until they reevaluate the brand split. Darrell, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go next to the 630 area code. Welcome to show 630. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
This is James from Chicago.
Hey, James, what's your mind tonight?
It's been crazy. I haven't been on in a couple of months, but
yeah,
had to call you guys because it's leading up to the draft. But first of all, what the heck was wrong with Shane McMahon sweating like that? He's been doing it for the past couple of weeks, man. I was been looking like he's sweating bullets, and Stephanie had to say something about it because he was sweating bullets. First question is, and I'm giving to you all at once, do you think the WWE will suspend Brock Lesnar? Because I know I don't know how, if he gets flagged, I think automatically it's positive, if it's a flag, automatically. So will Brock Lesnar get suspended? Are there going to be two WWE championships, like the heavyweight championship and the WWE championship? Because if it's going to only be one championship and he's going to be on both brands, how are they going to build for that one champion on each pay-per-view if they're going to have two pay-per-views in 1 month? Because you feel the build is not going to be right. What you going to build in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think based on tonight, James, I'll answer that. I'll come right back to you. I think based on tonight, they're going to have split titles. I've been a proponent of keeping one major title. And whoever that champion is can kind of float back and forth between Raw and SmackDown. It does create headaches of, You know, like, do you have to, you know, send an email that, hey, I would like to begin a feud with Dean Ambrose. Could you please send him over to Raw? You know, it could get kind of tricky, and you'd have to kind of go back in time to see how they handled it with the Undisputed Champion back in the day and kind of see what worked and didn't work. But, you know, it's a dicey situation. I mean, you know, somebody has to sort of attack him in the parking lot and you know, track him down to start a feud and that sort of thing. And how do you start a feud with somebody who can go back and forth if you could only be on one brand? You know, it's sort of a weird deal. So, yeah, I think that based on tonight, I think they're going to have separate top titles. I think they definitely set that in motion tonight. I think it's pretty clear that's going to happen. You know, I want to see how that plays out because I'm not – I like having one world heavyweight champion, you know. But it's just logistically, it's really difficult to pull off with a brand split. So they kind of have to go back to having, you know, two champions. You know, Brock's suspension, I don't think Brock's going to be, I think the red flag in UFC is not going to affect his standing in WWE. I mean, they still promoted Brock and Orton tonight on Raw. You know, they didn't stop promoting that matchup. You know, they put a graphic up and hyped it and talked about it. And, you know, they're going to set it up for Orton to talk about at Battleground, set it up for SummerSlam. So, you know, they didn't back away from Brock tonight, and so that signaled to me that they're not going to have any suspension thoughts about Brock and, you know, should we cancel the match or not? I think it's, you know, full steam ahead with that match at SummerSlam. So, now, if there is, like, a major revelation that comes out of this, you know, as far as what caused the potential violation, then, you know, then they might revisit that, but I think as of right now, it's, you know, everything's fine as far as WWE goes, and we'll kind of see what happens with, you know, the Nevada State Athletic Commission's investigation into what caused the red flag. But, you know, unless it's something major, then I think that, you know, he's going to be okay for WWE's purposes. James, you have another question or comment?
Yeah, just one more thing. With Mick Foley being the manager for Raw, I don't see Mick Foley doing anything. I think Mick Foley should be behind the scenes,
yeah,
creating different type of storylines, and that's what he's good at. He's good at that. I don't think he's really good. He's good on the mic, but he's not good as a general manager. You know, I just think that he needs to build storylines, and yeah, Nothing's going to get good until Shane McMahon and Stephanie have full control. If they dad still saying yes and no, we always going to be like this. That's just my comment, and thanks for taking my call. Later.
I appreciate it, James. Good call. Yeah, you know, you go back in time to Foley as he was a commissioner, you know, and he did a lot of comedy bits with Edge and Christian, and I think they even put out an entire DVD on Mick Foley's run as commissioner, you know, back in the day. And you know, I think, you know, that was a time where it worked, and you fast forward now, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years later, and I'm kind of with you, James. I think it's a curious choice. I think it's really about promoting Mick Foley's new show on the network. You know, quite honestly, I think that's the main reason why they put him in this role, is so that, you know, they could promote his sitcom debuting on the network in August. You know, I don't see much of a dynamic between Foley and Stephanie that's going to be worth the attention it's, you know, inevitably going to get as an authority figure battle. It doesn't really grab me. I just I'm not really intrigued by it. So we'll give it time, you know, and we'll see how this plays out as far as dynamic goes, and maybe Triple H gets in the mix again and tries to create something that, you know, to kind of maybe offset a bit of a odd relationship between Stephanie and Mick on camera. I just don't sense chemistry between the characters, is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, again, we'll give it some time. I'm with you, James. I think Mick's better off behind the scenes, kind of contributing that way. I think his days as an on-air character, at least a regular weekly on-air character, I think it's an odd choice, in my opinion. We'll see. But, I don't know. I don't have the right feeling about this one right now. Appreciate it, James. Let's go to our next phone call. Next up is from the 718 area code. Welcome to the show, 718. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, James, how you doing? This is Mike from Brooklyn.
Mike, I've got a news item for you, because during Raw, I don't know if you saw this during Raw, they advertised the Brooklyn Raw on Monday, the Monday night after SummerSlam, and they advertised a big six-man tag match.
Yeah, I am. Me and my buddy, we going. He had just told me Friday he got the ticket, so I will definitely give you... a live from Barclay report on everything. I will call you direct.
So the match that's advertised, Mike, for Raw, the night after SummerSlam, is Cena, Ambrose, and Reigns against Rollins, Jericho, and AJ Styles. And I would venture a guess that not all six guys have been on the Raw brand for that six-man tag, but that's what they're advertising, at least on this show, or at least on tonight's show. But I imagine that main event will change. Just an educated guess on that one. But Mike, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, well, first of all, to add on to that, I was under the impression that the Monday after SummerSlam, SummerSlam and WrestleMania is going to be a combined show for both brands. The first thing that strikes my mind tonight, an element that we forgot that we ain't really been discussing, James, is remember how they was progressively, pursuing so much outside talent. Do you think we in store for a couple of surprise like drafts that nobody see coming?
I think the NXT guys or gals will kind of fulfill that. I think when WWE released their eligible draft roster yesterday, I think they did kind of take some of the mystery out of. Will they introduce Zack Sabre Jr. or Kota Ibushi, guys who are not on the NXT roster officially yet, might be soon, but aren't yet, and they're just kind of part of that Cruiserweight series that's just kind of way out here in this other part of the universe. They're not really on the main roster, not really on the NXT roster, they're just kind of out here hanging out in this invitational tournament. Those guys would kind of qualify for that category, but I don't sense any major surprises other than who the six NXT call-ups are. And kind of going back to what Pat and I were talking about at the top of the show, I mean, again, if this is a legit, Daniel Bryan is sitting there, and if he's legitimately trying to build the best roster he can, if this is a shoot, he would pick Nakamura. I mean, you would go with Bauer, Nakamura, and Samoa Joe. I mean, you would automatically pick those guys. But I don't think WWE wants to have Nakamura called up right here. I think they want to keep him at NXT. So then you have to come up with an explanation of why Daniel Bryan would not pick Nakamura. And I'm really, really curious to find out what that explanation would be, if it does come to that, if they even address that. But, if they don't have Nakamura picked tomorrow, then they probably just ignore that and then just move on, and we'll just all sit there and be like, why would Daniel Bryan not pick Nakamura? And it would be just up to us to kind of wonder about, and they would never address it. But I mean, I Nakamura would be the big surprise if they went ahead and boom, big draft and call up Nakamura, That would be the big surprise to me, because the ones that I'm kind of thinking are American Alpha, Finn Balor, and then it's kind of wild card stuff from there. I mean, they could go the Nia Jax route. They could have Samoa Joe as a champion. Do they call the NXT champion? Is that how NXT is really introduced in a big way on main television, is having Samoa Joe? And then if you have Samoa Joe, you kind of have to draft Nakamura, because Nakamura has the next title shot. So if you want to promote Joe and Nakamura at TakeOver, then you kind of need to have them on the same main roster show. So, I'm really curious if those are the two big surprises, Mike, is Nakamura and Joe. The champion of NXT and the super mega star who is ready to burst out in the main roster, Nakamura. So. Those are my surprises. Outside of that, Brock Lesnar will be drafted because he's listed. But Taker, Hunter, and The Rock are not listed for the draft. So it would be a big surprise if that happened. Maybe there's somebody else, maybe like an Eric Young, like somebody who's kind of dabbled with NXT but hasn't been on in a while after leaving TNA. That's a possible surprise, but I'm going to say the NXT guys or gals are the surprises. I think that's where they've kind of identified that area. Mike, appreciate your phone call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. Next up is from the 305 area code. Welcome to show 305. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on? DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ, what's your mind tonight?
I got a couple things. Congratulations on the draft that you're general manager.
Do you like my picks that I'm putting out here?
Some of them. Are you guys going to do a live cast tomorrow night?
We haven't decided on that yet. Obviously, Wade will have his Tuesday
live
cast.
Well, you're the general manager. You can get it done.
We might. If it's I'll put it this way. If I'm still competent after the New Japan G1 Climax, Raw, tonight's live cast, covering the draft tomorrow while Greg's doing the live report, if I'm still able to put together words tomorrow night, we might do a post draft live cast. So stay tuned for my status at JC Torch on Twitter. How about that? I'll leave it at that. I gotta see how I'm doing tomorrow.
All right. I also want to throw in about the tag team. I don't know if they're gonna kill New Day. I think it's gonna be Cass and Enzo because of what happened today. And then I was seeing how much Braun was getting time in the ring, so I was thinking, I wonder if they're going to push him out and push him, to SmackDown. I don't know. But what do you think of that? That's my first thing. And my second thing is, I don't know. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I'm just going to throw this a long ball. I think Zack Ryder should get hurt or something, and Orton should come in, maybe tomorrow, he gets hurt or something, and Orton comes in. And maybe takes the belt, because otherwise, we were talking about last week. What is Orton's gonna, he's going in there with Brock. I mean, at least he has the belt. At least, he has some kind of, pull. You know what I mean? Nothing. Hasn't been back for a long time. So at least he has something bringing with him when he fights Brock compared to just him and Brock, and Brock wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they view Orton differently in the sense that I think they view Orton as just sort of a legacy star now. I don't sense him. Yeah, I think the only titles he would go after again in his career would be the WWE title and or whatever if they do split it off, whatever the other title is. I think Orton's in that position now, kind of like Cena, sort of a legacy guy, not really in the title mix, but if you need to put him in the title mix, you can. And I think that's also to protect themselves, because Orton's body is so banged up that you really can't put him in the WWE title or any title picture, because he's I mean, honestly, he could get injured in any match. I mean, his shoulder is so messed up, and he's obviously rehabbed and he's come back, or he's going to come back against Brock, but I just don't get a sense that he's durable anymore. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that because he's been injured and his shoulder's in such a bad way that, it's just one bad bump, and that shoulder could just, be a mess again. And he's put in his time, and he's worked hard and all that, so I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that they just can't depend on him in that kind of role anymore. No real fault of his own. He just has a bum shoulder from working the full-time WWE schedule all these years. So, I think that they'd have to come up with something different that would be a big impact before he faces Brock at SummerSlam. So the equivalent of him winning the U.S. title from, like you said, Rusev, or Intercontinental title from The Miz, would probably be something like going after the club, going after AJ. Whatever brand he ends up on, whoever the big stars are with him on whatever brand he ends up on, maybe it's going after somebody there. I think a big star there and having maybe a big victory before he faces Brock at SummerSlam. The question is, will they even have Orton wrestle on TV before SummerSlam? Or will they really try to keep Brock off of TV and keep Orton out of the ring and have this be sort of the, you know, Brock's first match since since WrestleMania, and Orton's first match of the year, and Orton's first match from injury. You know, he didn't even want a two-nut match. He was ready for Brock, that kind of thing. The risk you run is that, the risk you run of having Orton wrestle too much on TV before SummerSlam is you take away the specialness. You know, it's like once you see an Orton match again, you're like, oh yeah, Orton match. All right. I remember this. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. So I think that you want to keep that special, and I would not have Orton wrestle on TV before SummerSlam. So I'm really curious what they end up doing with him after he comes back at Battleground in between SummerSlam. Tag teams that might get split up, DJ. Yeah, I would have said Enzo and Cass before tonight, but I feel like they reinforced Enzo and Cass as a unit tonight. And I felt like with that promo, with the interaction with Cena, with the tag match, I felt like this was more of a reinforcement of them as a tag team unit tonight. Now, it could be a swerve where they're kind of, you know, leading you in that direction, and then all of a sudden they hit you with a breakup. But this felt like they're going to be going after the tag team titles type situation. In whatever form that is coming out of the draft. But I think that they're going to be still a tag team. Yeah, they did tease that big Braun Strowman and Big Cass showdown. The thing about him, though, is he's a big man, but he has charisma and he can move in the ring. You know, and WWE has not found a guy like that in a long time. You know, they found a lot of clunky big guys who have not been good in the ring over the past several years. So Big Cass is a big change, and that might make them want to go to him as a singles, but I think it's too early. I think there's a lot more left in the Enzo and Big Cass run as a tag team. DJ, appreciate the tag. I appreciate the call and the tag. Tag, high five. High five to you, DJ. Let's go to our next caller here on the Raw postgame. I'm already losing it. We're not even to Tuesday yet. So I don't know, DJ. I don't know if I'll make it to a postgame show tomorrow night. We'll see. Let's go to our next caller, 773 area code. Welcome to the show, 773. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
I'm Boris from Chicago.
Boris, what's going on tonight?
My birthday's in a few minutes.
You're July 19th?
My birthday's, yes, July 19th. And I can recall a torch that actually on my birthday where Ted DiBiase said, sung happy birthday to me. That was awesome. That's
I remember that. Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, how cool. So we get to actually talk right before my birthday. I was hoping that dragged on.
You want me to sing? You want me to put you on hold and call you back in 35 minutes?
No. I'm still gonna listen. Then if we still on the air, then you just come back to me. But we can have a lot of Chicago callers tonight, which is awesome.
Y'all representing. Awesome. Yeah.
My thing is, I got a couple things. Daniel Bryan's pop. That gas sent you through everybody. And it's just like, you want Roman Reigns to be the top guy. He doesn't get the reaction, the Daniel Bryan reaction, because I call it like that now when I talk to people. He doesn't get it. John Cena doesn't get the Daniel Bryan reaction. And we need to get back to allowing fans to be fans and choosing the characters that need to be pushed. You know what I'm saying? I'm recognizing that some of the guys that are supposed to be heels, they're getting treated like heels. But I was explaining to my friend today about Bray Wyatt. How can he be a heel and you turn the lights out and allow the fans to join in with him?
Right.
This is mind-boggling. But one of my questions is, what do you think about the reaction that Daniel Bryan get, and will it help SmackDown? And my other question is, Paul Heyman. There's a clip out there with him giving, a contract to Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. This thing with Evolve and all that, it's just all that, the things, everything that's not with WWE, but kind of like off to the side, like NXT, all these nice things that are happening, the network is not capitalized on it. And just like tonight with they leaving off the air, and we're not getting a result, and they're not even utilizing social media. Does this make you feel, or how do you feel toward, is WWE rusty? I mean, they might be the biggest company now. It's like they're playing catch up with everybody else. We know what's going to happen in New Japan, and it's solid. you know, TNA don't even have, I don't even know how to explain TNA, but they it's like they the underdogs. All these other companies are underdogs compared to WWE, and they're doing a better job with less to work with, kind of, than you, if you know what I'm saying, with WWE, yeah. With everything. Just like they tried to do the deletion, the bootleg deletion WWE tried to do. It was not even organic. Why are we doing this?
I think WWE has too much going on, and I think that goes to the top with Vince McMahon being head of creative and the CEO and trying to run the business and the creative side. I just think WWE's got too much going on, and they lose track of things, and they try to, you know, they're trying to fill 3 hours of TV, and now they're going to fill 2 hours of live SmackDown, and they've got to prioritize SmackDown now. You know, they can't just sit there on Monday night and say, all right, so Raw's over. What are we doing tomorrow night on SmackDown? You know, the SmackDown taping. They can't do that anymore. You've got to devote time to 5 hours of live original programming, and then on some weeks turn around to a 3-hour pay-per-view. So I think that, you know, they have too much going on. McMahon needs to, and I've said this before, he needs to relinquish some control to somebody. You know, relinquish either the CEO role or the head of creative role. I just don't think they can be successful long term with him running both. I mean, there's just too many holes, and you see it creatively, if week to week, there's just too many holes in what they're doing. You know, now they're gonna try, you know, again, try the 2-hour Raw live show. So, you know, maybe with it being live, it'll create an extra incentive to make that show count. But it also will add an extra stress. I think a lot of times they just sort of mail it in on SmackDown. You know, it's sort of an easy, it's an easy night of TV. It just sort of follow through on what happened on Raw, and then, you know, all right, let's go home. That's how a lot of SmackDowns have felt like through the years. Now they've got to make those SmackDowns count. You know, this isn't exhibition season anymore. This is real life. This is real season, regular season. You know, and you know, this isn't the exhibition. This isn't the summer league. You know, this is real stuff now, live on Tuesday night. So they got to make it count. 5 hours that McMahon's overseen of live programming, 8 hours on a pay-per-view week. That's a heavy demand, and I just think that's where a lot of it comes from. The Will Ospreay thing is interesting, and we're gonna have a story on this. We're gonna post it probably on Tuesday. There's an interesting backstory to what's going on with Ospreay, and WWE and Live and New Japan and all this kind of stuff happening. So. I'm going to write it out, and then you guys can read it at pwtorch.com tomorrow. I'll tease it. Brian's pop is, to me, it's the saddest thing in the world to me, because he can't wrestle anymore, and yet he has the biggest pop in the entire roster. Obviously, he's been off TV since he retired, you know, off main television since he retired in February. So, you know, you build that up, and he comes back and has a huge pop and all that. Now, week to week, it won't be like that at all, as we've seen with Shane when he came back. But, you know, again, it's just the law of diminishing returns. You just can't sustain that week after week. But, yeah, it's just the saddest thing, because, you know, he was so over, and he could have been so over. And then he, you know, had the injuries and all the health concerns and all that, and he had to end his career. And, you know, every time he gets that big pop, it's exciting, but it's sad. Because they can't do anything with it as far as in the ring goes. You know, they can't have a Daniel Bryan versus Nakamura match. That's just never going to happen. You know, because Bryan can't wrestle again. So it's a little bit sad every time he gets that big pop. yeah. Speaking of the NBA, how would you like to get all your favorite NBA teams merchandise delivered straight to your desk, well, to your doorstep through your desktop? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you have to do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They get amazing sports gear, so you don't have to. They organize it, and they put it in a fan box that comes packed full with amazing gear. It makes for a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $34.99. Visit FanEssentials.net and use a promo code PWTORCH at checkout. Get 30% off your first month. Again, visit FanEssentials.net, enter the code PWTORCH, you get 30% off. FanEssentials.net is where you get all the essentials you need for you, the sports fan.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Do you shop at amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
Let's go to our next caller. And next up here on the livecast, we're going to go to the 302 area code. Welcome to show 302. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
This is Chris from Newcastle, Delaware.
Hey, Chris. Well, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Hi. Well, first off, I want to compliment you because let me preface this by saying I am a I'm a cable cutter. So I honestly haven't watched Raw in probably about 5 or so years.
Oh, wow.
And pretty much I've been following your post-game show this entire time, pretty much. But the draft has interested me, so I watched it through a free trial of PlayStation View.
Okay.
And I have to compliment you because, wow. You know, that you know, you actually do that, you know, you watch 3 hours of Raw, you know, every week. It was exhausting, you know. Especially with how far the storylines of the quality of the storylines have dropped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now, mind you, I still catch the pay-per-views and everything like that. I also wanted to comment on this thing about Brock Lesnar and the doping violation.
Yeah.
I know. I'm wondering. You know, I think there is sort of a. I'm wondering if there is going to be a disciplinary action for him if. You know, if this whole thing turns south, and you know, it was found out that he was using something bad, that's going to end up getting him suspended from UFC. And the reason I say this is because if you remember a few months ago, Billy Gunn actually got fired over, I believe, over failing a wellness policy that wasn't even, you know, something that WWE even administered. Now, I'm not saying that Lesnar is going to get fired, but I'm wondering if he's going to somehow get suspended or, you know, get punished via burial or what have you. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Sure, sure. I think the one about Gunn is he also lied about the details about it. There was some sort of lying element of that. I think, you know, the wellness violation for whatever he was competing in. I forget the sport he was competing in, but, you know, weightlifting or power bar or something. Whatever it was, whatever the competition was, you know, there was a violation there. Plus, I think he lied to WWE officials about it. So I think that combination was the you know, what led him being cut as the NXT head trainer. I mean, like, you know, in his position was the head trainer. So, you know, you're teaching all these wrestling, you know, the NXT talent roster, you're teaching all of them about the ins and outs of the wrestling business. It's not just about, you know, bumping in the ring. It's also how to handle yourself, how to carry yourself. And, you know, if you're a head trainer, or he wasn't the head trainer, but he was a coach, whatever it was. If one of the coaches is doing that, you know, I wouldn't be able to trust him as my coach telling my students, you know, hey, do this, do that. So I think the position he was in, lying about it in the wellness, I think that was, you know, three strikes, you're out. I think Brock's a little bit different. It was UFC. We don't know the violation was for. He was not active in WWE at the time. And he's not in a position to be a head trainer. You know, he's not in a coach position. Now, he is a top star, though, who needs to be, you know, if there is something that violates the wellness policy, then he does need to be punished. But at this point, unless it's a major, you know, drug offense, then, which I don't think it is, I don't think this is a fireable offense. Now, WWE might fine him, you know, a certain amount on top of whatever the Nevada State Athletic Commission fines him, you know, just a sort of a penalty for whether it's, you know, besmirching the name of WWE or just violating UFC's wellness policy or the equivalent, and then, you know, translating that over to WWE. You know, there could be a smaller punishment there, but I think it's a little bit different than Gunn. That's an interesting comparison, though. Yes, Chris, the 3-hour Raws, if you're not used to it, it's, you know, I'm just sort of used to it now. I mean, there, you know, there's sort of a numbness kicks in at some point where you just kind of get used to 3-hour Raws and you just accept it as your reality on a Monday night. But yeah, I mean, like for you, you know, or any other newer fans or returning fans or, you know, Labs fans who are just now exposed to a 3-hour Raw, it's a bit of a shock to the system. You know, there's always that one or two. Now, there's always like one or two segments back to back that just really drag, and you, I think we felt it tonight, which was the women's tag, and then the sort of that U.S. title division tag. You know, Rusev and Sheamus against Ryder and Ziggler just had no heat to it. That's usually about the time you really feel that 3-hour Raw is in the middle of the third hour, where you're just like, you know, the crowd's tired, the viewers at home are tired. It's a bit exhausting, so you'll get used to it eventually, Chris. Or like a lot of people, you'll just tune out. And as the ratings and viewership have shown over time, people just sort of eventually just tune out. So, Chris, thanks for calling in, and we're glad you made it to the postgame show after watching a 3-hour Raw. Good, well done for you. Let's go to our next caller here on the live cast. Next up is the 801 area code. Welcome to show 801. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Derek from Utah.
Hey, Derek. Good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
You know, I have to disagree with the ending segment of Raw. I know Pat McNeil said that they need to tighten it up, but I think what they were going for is controversy, conflict, kind of wallowing the complexity of the finishing angle, and it shouldn't be smooth, because then everyone will say, well, that felt very contrived. And I think the way they presented it was, what's going on? We're confused. And as the viewer, you were supposed to leave confused. So in that respect, I think they achieved at least in part what they were attempting to achieve by leaving you a cliffhanger of, well, we think this guy might be the champion except for this. So I didn't really mind that at all.
I think that was a creative pitch. I think that's probably how they pitched it in creative in the meeting discussing. That's why I put my report. I think this sounded a lot better on paper. I think the execution was very sloppy because it was just like this dead air in the building. You know, it's like the fans are sitting there for 3.5 hours. You get to the main event. You've hyped this main event. You actually promoted the main event. And then you have that finish, and everybody just sort of standing around like, what's going on? And to me, it wasn't a standing around, oh my gosh, somebody got screwed, and oh my gosh, you know, Ambrose got screwed. Why is Seth holding the title? Boo, Seth Rollins. It's more like, well, somebody just figured out what the heck's going on so we can end the show on a proper note. And I thought it was more annoying than productive. And I think what you're talking about, Derek, is the exact creative pitch they probably presented. and how they would defend how they went off the air. But I just think that, you know, it was a bunch of people standing around and the crowd's quiet because they want a result, or at least somebody announced something. Everybody just sort of standing there, and I just don't think that it was very well executed. I think there's, you know, too many chefs in the kitchen. You got four authority figures. You got two guys in the ring. You got a referee who's selling a stomach ache because he got bumped. You know, Lillian Garcia standing down at ringside waiting for something to happen, you know, to announce something. And I get all the elements that they're trying to present, but I think to me, Derek, I think it was just too much. And at that point in the show, 3 hours into the show, live crowd wants a finish. You've hyped this match. I think you got to have a much cleaner, tighter execution of that element if you're going to do that. And I felt they were really sloppy with the presentation. I think you went off the air with sort of a blah feeling. And I think it was more blah than, gosh, that was really controversial. I want to see how it plays out tomorrow night. Now, maybe once the blah feeling goes away and Tuesday rolls around, maybe people are a little bit more excited to see the fallout. But I thought as far as in this moment tonight, I felt it was very sloppy and created the wrong feeling going off the air. That was my sense of it. Derek, go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, and I think sloppy is what it was supposed to be. And, you know, and I think you don't want to end every show on a positive note. Everyone doesn't have to go home happy every night, especially when Raw, to me tonight especially, seemed like primer for a SmackDown show tomorrow night and even a bigger show at the pay-per-view in 6 days. But we can agree to disagree. That's cool. I think one of the parts of the Brock Lesnar controversy that's not really being explored is you sought a test for a whole bunch of substances, many of which you can purchase and use legally. Mm-hmm. And so what you're seeing is a nuance in a drug testing policy where I can go to a GNC or a Good Earth, and I can get a whole bunch of substances which will make me fail a testosterone test or an anti-estrogen test or even an amphetamine test. And Brock Lesnar took one of those substances, and WWE says, well, these are legal to purchase and use. I don't think they have any reason to suspend the guy because it's not competition, which is what USADA is meant to be, and that is to create a fair playing field for athletes in a competitive environment where WWE is a wellness policy, meaning you're trying to make sure that guys aren't taking things that are, one, illegal, and two, are going to do them significant harm to their body. So I think it really all depends on what he actually gets flagged for.
Right. Yeah, and I think what will eventually happen, because you go back to, you know, John Jones being his match or his fight being canceled right before UFC 200, because, you know, he came up with a red flag, and I think his quote was, "I don't even know what the substance was," you know, like, or something like, I don't even know what this is called." You know, it probably is something that was in a, you know, a supplement or whatever it was that he took during training, or, you know, like you said, I think what I'm getting at is I think eventually they're going to get down to is an evaluation of the supplement industry and, you know, what GNC is selling, what, you know, what all these health food stores are selling and what's being put into, you know, whey protein or supplements or, you know, whatever pills people take as, you know, as a supplement to their training. And, you know, I go back to the Bigger, Stronger, Faster documentary from Chris Bell about 10, 11 years ago. And there was this one, you know, there's this one memorable scene where he created his own supplement. He grabbed a bottle, he put a, you know, printed out a label, put a sticker on, you know, sticker label, and put it on a bottle and took it to somebody and sold it, and, you know, to, with the intent of putting it in a GNC store. You know, it was just very revealing of how easy it is to create a supplement and then have somebody buy it and then distribute it. You know, and I mean, you got to really know what you're buying at health food stores. You know, you would think that's the last place you have to check, you know, what you're buying. But, you know, because by definition, it's called a health food store. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of tainted items on the market that are legal to buy. It's sold in a GNC store. You can buy it, but it would show up as a as a positive result on a WWE wellness policy or a UFC anti-doping test. So, or, you know, Olympics drug test. It's I think eventually it's going to get down to cleaning up the supplement industry. And that's, you know, a high-profile suspension of John Jones. And then, we don't know what Brock was flagged for. But if it's along those lines, it's another high-profile example. And I think eventually it's going to get to that point. So, yeah, I think, Derek, you're onto something with that. And we'll see what the fallout is from whatever Brock was actually flagged for while training for UFC 200. Appreciate it, Derek. Let's go to our next caller. And next up here on the live cast is from the 978 area code. Welcome to show 978. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, James. This is Andrew from Boston calling.
Hey, Andrew. What's on your mind tonight?
A couple things. I will be going to SmackDown tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. But
awesome.
I wanted to talk quick about Stephanie McMahon. And a caller earlier had even brought up, you know, Shane sweating his face off. And, you know, Stephanie was quick to point that out, too. And it just seems like, you know, it's so common with her every time, you know, she can point something out and go off script just a bit to kind of put herself over. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't miss an opportunity to do that. And if Shane doesn't have that, you know, retort, he was a little bit quick on his feet, actually, and, you know, offered the hug. If he doesn't have that, you know, he's just sitting there emasculated. So it's just, you know, if she's the head of Raw, and as Vince said, you know, last week, ratings, and then a couple other intangible, you know, ruthlessness and competition, but ratings is part of the battle. So I'm a, you know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'm calling into a wrestling, you know, post game show. So I actually have an incentive to not watch Raw now. Like, when before it might be, hey, you know, I'll watch, it's on, whatever, something's happening, something's not. But now it's like, well, if I'm on Team Shane, I actually intentionally want to not watch Raw. Is that, am I wrong?
And that's where I think they got really, really strange with the verbiage in that opening segment was, you know, they were trying to create brand loyalty. You know, they're in the middle of a Raw TV broadcast, and Brian and Shane are talking about, you know, wanting to make sure Raw sucks or something like that. And you know, you're at a Raw TV and you're like, yeah, but I'm at a Raw taping. Do I want the show I paid money for to suck? You know, and so it's that weird thing where they're trying to create brand loyalty between Raw and SmackDown. It's almost like that Twix commercial. You know, there's left Twix and right Twix, you know, and they're competing with each other. And, you know, one puts the caramel on one side, and the other puts the caramel on the other side. And you're like, I don't care. Just sell me a darn good Twix. You know, you know. But I mean, I know the commercial is a bit of a, you know, sort of a mockumentary commercial, but I don't care. Just sell me a good Twix. You know, and I think that's the attitude a lot of fans have is like, I don't care about Raw and SmackDown competing. Just tell me a good show, and, you know, have a good show and tell me a good story and have some good matches. You know, and have some people feuding over some titles and make it important. And you know, I just think it's sort of a misguided attempt to have WWE compete with itself. And like you said, I mean, it's like they're putting a, you know, it's like a scale where you got, you know, well, it's Raw. I like Raw, but I don't like Stephanie. Oh, the Cruiserweights. They're going to be on Raw. I like the Cruiserweights. Ah, but I don't like this person. It's like if Roman Reigns on Raw. Well, I don't want Roman Reigns to succeed if you don't like Roman Reigns. So it's like, okay, do you watch in this quarter hour for the Cruiserweights and then you tune out the rest of the show? You know what I mean? It's just, you can get really ridiculous with that whole brand loyalty thing. And like you said, I mean, if you don't want Stephanie to succeed, then you wouldn't watch Raw. But, I mean, do you punish yourself by not watching Raw? Or, you know, some people might see it's a good thing to not watch Raw because it's such a long show. So everybody just read my report at pwtorch.com, call in the post-game show. We'll all be good. Just don't watch Raw. How about that? You know, that'll balance the scale, I think, maybe. But, yeah, I know what you're saying, Andrew, and I think that, you know, with the 70 character is, you know, when she's in that mentality of being the Stephanie heel, if she sees an opening to be really mean and really, you know, whatever, within that moment of the promo, of live TV, of a live moment, she will take the chance to you know, add in the extra little thing that's not in the script. You know, if she feels that in that moment of being that character, and there, you know, again, that's McMahon, Vince McMahon's idea is that's how she gets her heat, is doing that kind of stuff. She's gonna do that, you know, and it does force Shane to kind of be on, you know, think on his feet when his little sister's like, you know, hey Shane, you're really sweating out here tonight. What's wrong? You know, and he's got to be like, well, I'm in the middle of my promo and I forgot my next line. I've got to backtrack and figure out if I want to rebut this. Well, no, I'll just move on to my next line. You know, just it does sort of force him to think. So it is really interesting to see kind of how that dynamic plays out on TV. But yeah, if there's an opening for her to kind of be that, then she will. And it's kind of playing up the character. Andrew, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in. Let me go to we got a VIP member who is on hold out of the 310 area code. Let's go to VIP member Rashad out of L.A., unless it's Louisiana. Rashad, how are you doing tonight?
It is. It's Rashad in L.A., Los Angeles.
All right, just checking. Just checking, you know, because, you know, L.A. or Louisiana, it's the same thing as far as abbreviations go. So, Rashad, what's going on? And I forgot the area code out in L.A. I used to live out there, and I've already forgotten it, so it's been a long time. Rashad, so I could have got that tip, but what's going on, Rashad? What's your mind tonight?
We have a lot of area codes, 310, 213. But, yeah, man, the show was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. The 3 hours was definitely a little long. But, I mean, there was, like, some interesting news. The SmackDown side of it seemed kind of predictable. Like, when Shane announced Daniel Bryan, like, it was, like, it didn't feel like a surprise. But it was cool. You know, it was still cool. You already talked about so much, so I guess I'll just, you know, wrap up with a question. Mm-hmm. What do you think about them adding a trios title to one of the brands so that each brand has their own kind of version of the tag titles?
Yeah, it's. I mean, if there ever was a time for it, yeah. I mean, you've got it right now with – you've got 2 6-man tags of the pay-per-view on Bad Battleground. You know, and you could always, you know, add on a singles guy to an existing tag team. And I think the issue, though, is that they probably wouldn't put all the trios on one brand. You know, they wouldn't put New Day on the same brand as the Wyatts. I think that's going to be blown off the battleground. And then you've got the club against, you know, Cena, Enzo, and Cass. I think once this match happens, I think they're going to go their separate ways, and it'll be, you know, the club might be broken up. You know, it might be AJ off on SmackDown and the club on Raw. You know, that might be a possibility. So I anticipate all the trios being split up, or at least 3 out of 4 after, you know, at the draft tomorrow night, and then, you know, the final blow off is at Battleground. But yeah, I'm kind of anticipating them not having these teams remaining intact, at least 3 out of 4. After tomorrow, so, you know, if all the teams were intact, then yeah, you might be able to put together a nice trios tag division. But I think that the way this draft's gonna play out tomorrow, I don't think that's gonna be feasible. But it is interesting. You know, New Japan introduced never open weight 6-man tag titles earlier this year. Been a lot of, you know, like sort of the Bullet Club, a lot of the elite guys within the Bullet Club. You know, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Kind of battling the New Japan baby faces, and that, you know, that's been pretty good for New Japan. It's kind of been able to, you know, just kind of throw in a title match if you just want to kind of spice up a show. But, you know, that requires some discipline in how you present it, and I'm not sure about that from WWE. But it would be a way to just kind of talking it out if you want. Again, if you want to split up the tag titles and have some sort of tag title element on Raw and SmackDown, you could have a, you know, your standard, you know, 2-man tag team titles on whatever brand, and you could have a 6-man tag on the other brand, and you know, obviously New Day would be intact, and you'd have them as the 6-man tag champs, and, you know, convert their standard tag titles into a 6-man tag title belt, and you know, it'd get really complicated with all that stuff. But I don't think it's going to happen. But again, if you want a different way of differentiating the tag titles on both brands, that's a way to do it. Have one be a tag team title, traditional, and one be a trios tag title. Rashad, appreciate your phone call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next phone call. And next up here on the Livecast postgame show, out of the 202 area code, welcome to show 202. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, James? Just passed me from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Anthony, good to hear from you again. What's your mind tonight?
Oh, nothing much. You know, I've been like, a little bit out of the loop as far as wrestling is going on because, you know, kind of have a different little schedule now, but I'm trying to get readjusted.
Gotcha.
Okay, so, you know, I'm paying attention to the show tonight and this draft and everything, everybody anticipating and stuff. Be quite honest, I'm not a fan of this brand split thing, and one of the reasons why it's, to me, it's an unfair advantage with the Raw brand because of the three-hour thing. I know everybody mentioned the three-hour thing. Here's my point about the three-hour thing. It's too much television. I mean, you got the pay-per-views, you got, you know, three-hour thing, you're doing whatever with SmackDown, you know what I'm saying? It's just too much television. It's oversaturating the product right now. I mean, if you take a hint for what they do in NXT, it's perfect. You know, it leaves audience every week wanting more. And that's what you want to do. Not everybody like, oh, God, is this thing over with? You know what I'm saying? Like they're doing with Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, can you fashion it or can you imagine any way they can like be done with one of them hours, like the 8 o'clock hour preferably?
That's what I'm wondering what the Cruiserweight division will be about. You know, they were very vague about what exactly it'll look like when they bring back the Cruiserweights on Raw. You know, do you give them in their own hour, you know? Do you sprinkle them in throughout the show, kind of like what WCW did? It goes back to, you know, 4 years ago when they, you know, this week is a four-year anniversary of them introducing three-hour Raws on a weekly basis. And you go back in time to, you know, when Vince McMahon, you know, presented this to the creative team, and he said, I want 3 hours of Raw, you know, and the creative team had different ideas for, you know, hey, let's do an hour of this, an hour of that, an hour, you know what I mean? Like, they had ideas, and Vince said, nope, I want 3 hours of Raw. 4 years later, ratings are down to all-time lows, and viewership's down. It's been sinking ever since 2013, progressively dropping. Maybe now, 4 years later, maybe he realizes he made a mistake, and maybe he will introduce a separate hour. And maybe, if you devote that hour to the Cruiserweights, it's probably not going to do a very good rating off the bat because the audience has no connection to the Cruiserweight division. You know, Cruiserweights, you know, the last time they were really even part of WWE was, by name, was, you know, what was that, 10 years ago when Hornswoggle was champion? And they turned into a complete joke at the end, and they just retired the belt after Hornswoggle, you know, was the last champion. You know, so you got to re-educate the audience, and I don't know if, like, 2 weeks of the Cruiserweight tournament is going to accomplish that, you know, on the WWE Network. It's not even part of the main television. So whatever that if they did a separate hour, just for the Cruiserweights as part of Raw, you know, it's not going to do a very good rating off the bat, you know, out the gate, whatever. It's just not. And so there's just no connection. Over time, though, are they willing to, if they did that, would they be willing to wait for the audience to, acclimate toward that? I don't know how much patience there would be. So I'm leaning toward they're just going to throw them into the overall, and I don't think that's going to work out either. So I hope they have an idea for this, you know, them announcing, yeah, hey, we're going to bring back the Cruiserweight division to Raw. Okay, what does that look like? You know, are they part of the show? Are they separate from the show? I don't know, you know. Is this all taped at Full Sail and they tack it on to the first hour of Raw? Is it the third hour of Raw? Is the third hour of Raw the Cruiserweight hour, you know, instead of the first hour? I don't know. There's too many questions to know at this point, but I'm really curious, Anthony, what they do to try to differentiate that three-hour Raw with the brand split. We shall see about that.
90 seconds.
All right, we're down about 90 seconds of live time here in the show, and I want to, if I'm going to a post-game show tomorrow night, I need to conserve some energy because I feel myself fading here after New Japan, 3-Hour Raw, and here at the post-game show. I've really enjoyed talking to you guys about the draft, but if I'm going to try to do a post-game show tomorrow night, I need to wrap up the show here, the 90-minute mark, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here.
60 seconds.
I know we've got more people on hold, so I've marked down everybody who's on hold. If you do call in tomorrow night, if I do a post-game show tomorrow night, if you call in, I'll put you at the front of the line. So, you know, 904-314-914-203-516 area codes. I see you guys on hold. I'm going to, you know, if you call in tomorrow night, I'll put you at the front of the line, and we'll get your calls first on tomorrow's show if I do a show tomorrow night. So I'm going to wrap up here. Wade Keller, Tuesday live cast at 1 Eastern tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. And then maybe I'll be back on Tuesday night for a post-draft live cast. We'll see how things go tomorrow with the draft. And maybe we'll take some more phone calls then, talk to you guys again then. But Wade Keller, 1 Eastern here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And tune in then. More follow from Raw. And until either Tuesday night or Sunday's Battleground post-game show, I'm going to sign off here on behalf of Torch Columbus Pat McNeil and the whole Torch staff at pwtorch.com and pwtorchlivecast.com. This is Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell signing off for the livecast.